Baruch Hashem. Noshim Tzadkoni is Jewish women who are coming together in order to improve their lives and their relationships. That's what this time of the year is about. Shavuot. I want to thank Dr. Barris. I want to thank Natalie and Halchevi here, Yaakov, for all of the work that goes into preparing for such a night. So I'm going to try to condense around 6-7 hours of material into approximately an hour. I know it's late. So let's try to focus on a part of life . An imaginary scene in our lives. Of a marriage where years have already passed. And the couple is very, very weighed down. Work and raising children in our times. And then Bechlal, the grind of life and time, and what it does to the relationship. And the reality is that very often there's an ashakorcha baderach. We're getting close to Purim. There's an ashakorcha baderach. There's a coldness. Korcha, you know, is also a lashon of coldness. And the Sfarim tell us that there's a Gehenna of fire that we've heard a lot about. We don't know what that is. But there's another type of a Gehenna that people live in that's called a Gehenna of ice, of snow. It's not after this world. It's in this world. And Baderach, there's a coldness. There's an indifference that has set in, a loss of warmth in the relationship. And sometimes the feeling of alienation, of separation, is so deep that in a secret place in a person's mind and heart, and sometimes words come out. Sometimes the person wonders whether or not I married the right person. Did I marry the right person? Was I foolish at the time? And maybe, chas v'shalom, I made a terrible mistake with my life. And when a person's in that frozen state of mind, of course, it usually descends into terrible disagreements, fights, words that cause terrible pain, tears, feelings of sometimes even a little bit of hate, disgust, disappointment. And the question of all questions of what happened to the ahava, what happened to the love. Sometimes there's a spark, there's a sudden reemergence, a reappearance of those emotions. But then, as we find at the end of Shir HaShirim, Brach Dodi, the beloved disappears, runs away. There was the appearance of love, it surfaced, and then it seems that as quickly as it came, Brach Dodi, runs away, it disappears. So the question we're going to talk about now is there a way? Is there a way to redeem? To bring out that ahava, that love that was under the chuppah. Is there a way to free that ahava from its state of galus, of exile? A I want to tell you that even though I have read many secular things in the past, that none of what I'm going to say now is based upon anything but Torah and learning of Torah and Chassidus. The greatest and most complicated love story of all time is Kutcher Brichu and Knesset Yisrael. Hashem and the Jewish people. It's the most complicated, the most beautiful, and tormented story of love is Kutcher Brichu and Knesset Yisrael. In the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe speaks of a Jew who can remember that there was a time in his life where there were feelings of love for Hashem, where there was a certain hislavus and excitement of being an Eved Hashem, and that somehow over time the coldness set in, the alienation set in, and sometimes there were even fights and quarrels between Kutcher Brichu and Knesset Yisrael that are recorded in Tanakh. Our Nevi'im were very, very honest. The Tzaddikim were very honest. And in the life of that individual Jew, he tries, she tries, to learn some Svarim, to say some Tehillim. And the Tanya says that the person feels that he or she is not matzlich, is not successful, coming back to that ahava that once was. And in Shir HaShirim it says that there's a Jew who's in a state of Cholas Ahava. Now Cholas Ahava is often translated as being lovesick, which is a sickness that's good. But the Netziv explains that Cholas Ahava means that I am so sick because I can't find any more of those feelings of love within me. I'm Cholas Ahava. I am sick for the love that I don't feel, and that I don't feel coming from Hashem Yisbarach. In Perek Memhei of Tanya, which if you have a chance, I'm assuming that each and every one of you has a Tanya at home, that if you have a chance, you should try to learn the entire Perek. There, the Alter Rebbe introduces what he calls Derech Yashar Lifnei Ish, a straight path for each and every Jew to find once again that love that is hidden within him for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That love which the Navi describes as Ahavas Klulosar, the love that was under the chuppah of Chasen. The path towards uncovering that love, the Tanya says, is hinted at in a remarkable pasuk in the 29th parak of Yeshayahu, parak chav tes, pasuk chav beis. Liakov asher poda es Avraham. Liakov asher poda es Avraham. Think of the words. By the way, I'm learning this sugya with the men, and it's very important. I'm going to review the shir in the more of an expanded version with the men in Yitzhak Hashem, and we've been talking about this Sunday mornings in Chabur, that I want there to be an understanding, if possible. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to try to see things through your eyes. The pasuk that we're learning, that the Tanya brings, these words, Yaakov, Liakov, Asher Poda, Avraham. That means that Yaakov redeems Avraham. Liakov asher poda es Avraham. Now that sounds very odd. Just the English words sound strange. Yaakov, of course, is the grandson. Nachon? Yaakov is the einikel. Liakov asher poda es Avraham. How is Yaakov able to redeem, to save, to rescue Avraham Avinu? What does that mean? That Yaakov is rescuing, is redeeming Avraham Avinu. So everybody knows that Avraham is the midah of chesed, of ahava, of love. And you know also that Yaakov is the midah of rachamim, of teferes, of compassion, or more correctly translated, empathy. And the Tanya explains that Yaakov Asher Pardes Avraham means that there are times in a person's life where love is imprisoned and ends in galus, where Avraham, that quality of Avraham, the ability to love and to feel love, is in a state of galus, is imprisoned within the person. And the person loses his cheshek and just goes through the motions of love, but not really feeling it, because it's in galus. So that means that Avraham, the Avraham within us, is in a state of galus. Understand, Avraham means love. And Avraham is in a state of galus. And the Tanya explains that when the Pasuk says, Liyakov Asher Pardes Avraham, it means that there's a derech yosher lifnei ish. There's a sure way. Derech yosher is alluding to Yaakov, who's called Yeshurun. There's a derech yosher lifnei ish, a straight and clear path for each and every Jew to unlock, to rescue the Avraham that's within, to reveal the ahava, the love for Hashem that's within. And as we're going to see, the love for the spouse that's within, that's imprisoned and that's in galus. And the way to do that is through the midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is rachamim. When it comes to ahava, when it comes to love, when a person is feeling angry or indifferent, it's very, very hard to muster up that emotion, those feelings of ahava. It's very hard when you're hurt. It's very, very hard. Even when you're just busy with life and you're weighed down by troubles, the midah of Avraham is very hard to come into contact with. However, when it comes to rachamim, when it comes to the midah of rachamim, if right now, at this moment, somehow in a funny little way, a little bird would come through the window, and that little bird would have a broken foot like it just fell off a tree, which once happened to us in front of the house. And that bird came, was limping with a little broken foot. Every single one of you would give such a noise, would come out such a sound, we'd have to interrupt the shiur for 10 minutes at least, because all of you would go, "Oy." And some of you would run over, like with band-aids and with first aid, and you'd be fighting to take the little bird and to help out and to take care of. Alech haskama v'kama. And there's a child that's hurting, or there's a Jew anywhere in the world that's in pain. So the Tanya says that the midah of rachamim, the midah of compassion, of empathy, is something which is a derech yosher lifnei ish. It's very easy to come to. That emotion of caring, of compassion, and of empathy. Not ahava. Ahava is Avraham Avinu. That's hard. That's really dramatic. But the midah of rachamim, of compassion, and as we learn, of empathy, that's a midah that one can come to bepshitus mamash. It's very simple for you and I, especially for women. All of you are filled, meleos rachamim. You have a strong midah of rachamim. When somebody is hurting, a woman, a mother, a grandmother, the midah of rachamim is very strong in every Jew. As we're called, rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. We have this midah in a very powerful way, and it's a way of pshitas, it's simple. It's easy. And when that midah of rachamim, when that midah of compassion or of empathizing is awakened within a person, it already creates a feeling of connection. It opens up the heart of a person in a very simple and sweet and delicate way. And through this midah of rachamim, we're going to talk about this now for the next few minutes, Liyakov Asher Pardes Avraham, through the Midah of Rachamim, Derech Yoshel Lifnaish, the world of Yaakov Avinu, empathy and compassion, one is able to find within himself and within herself the exiled love for one's spouse, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midah of Rachamim. This is hinted at in a very deep way, which if there was more time, I would love to talk about this at length. This is alluded to in the Pasuk, one of the most difficult Pasukim in all of Tanakh. You know, there were certain Pasukim that when we were little, when the Rebbe would teach us in class, he wouldn't translate, and then those were the ones that we always ran back to try to find what the translation was. And we got it wrong because the translations in those years were very hard to understand. So one of the most misunderstood Pasukim in Tanakh is when Yaakov met Rachel, and it says in the Torah, Yishak Yaakov l'Rachel, that Yaakov kissed Rachel Yemeinu. V'yises k'ole v'yevch, and he cried. The Rebbe Rabbeinu Peshitsky said that the reason that he cried is because he knew that he's going to get into a lot of trouble because of this kiss. He knew that people are going to say, what was that? That's why he cried. But in Chassidus, we're taught a very deep thing. V'yishak Yaakov. Yaakov is the Midah of Rachel. V'yishak Yaakov, when that midah of compassion, of empathy, kisses, L'rochel means a Jew who's in pain. A Jew who's in pain. A Jew who is broken. V'yises k'ole v'yev, it lifts up the voice, it lifts up that koach and draws down into the world, into the life of that person, of Rachel, an outpouring of rachem, of compassion and love. It's a very deep teaching in Chassidus. We don't have time to go into that right now. L'maisa. The Baal Tanya believes, as we all do, that in each and every Jew, there's an ahava misuteres l'Hashem. There's a deep, deep hidden love for Hashem. And although the Tanya does not speak about this, over there in Perek Memeh, he does not mention anything about a husband and wife. But you know that this relationship of Kutcher Brichu in Knesset Yisrael, Hashem and a Jew, is a relationship of husband and wife. The entire Shir Shir is based upon that. And this is a very, very prominent theme throughout all of Tanakh and Chazal. So the same way that there's an Ahav and Mesuteris v'ne'elemes v'Hashem, the same way that in each and every one of us, there's a deep, hidden love for Hashem. We might not have felt it in years. We might not know what it feels like, Bechlal. But you and I all believe in that, that there's an Ahavim Suteres, that there's a love for Hashem that's deep within each and every one of us. So too, if one believes that between the husband and wife, there is an ahava, there is that love that was there by the chuppah, by the chasm. And that ahava has somehow been covered over. And through the years, it's reached a point where it feels like it's barely there at all. The same way that Tanya believes that through the Midas Arachimim, and we're taught that through this Midah of Yaakov, we can redeem Avraham in that relationship between the Jew and Hashem, so too, when it comes to the relationship between a husband and a wife. The question now is, Rachmim, Rachmonis, Almi, what does that mean? What compassion, what empathy, what is the Tanya talking about? This Derech Yosher Lifnei, it's so simple, he says, that could bring out and redeem the love that's hidden within us for Hashem and for those who we love. So he says something which is very shocking. And this is the key also, we're learning with the men and the boys. This is the key to helping the young men with the issues that they're going through in our time. They always have gone through, but particularly in our time, the challenges of Tavshin Ayin Zayin. The Tanya says that the initial feeling of Rachmanis, of compassion, And the need to empathize is to have rachmanis on ourselves. What does that mean? He explains there in the pasuk v'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameihu, to return to Hashem v'yirachameihu. And v'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameihu, which Yeshayahu HaNavi says, to return to Hashem, the simple translation of the pasuk is that if we do tshuva, if we return to Hashem, then v'yirachameihu, then Hashem will have compassion upon us. That's the simple pshat. But the Tanya explains that on a deeper level, v'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameihu means that the return to Hashem begins when a person has rachmanis, when he recognizes that the King of all kings, the Master of the universe, who's within him, is embarrassed and is humiliated to be dragged by each and every one of us into places that he doesn't belong. That the elokus, the godliness of who we are, is in that state of exile. Or to put this into a story that some of you might know that takes a minute, the Holy Rishna, Slus Yerelena. The Holy Rishna was, like many tzaddikim, was imprisoned by the Russians at that time. The Russians feared that he was beginning a messianic movement. There was Halshana, there was Malshinas, Lashon Hara that was spoken against him. And the Holy Rishna was in jail. You know, of course, it's famous that the Tanya was in jail. Many tzaddikim were in jail. So the Holy Rishna was in jail, and after bribing many, many people and spending a fortune of money, a few of the chassidim were given permission to visit the Rishna. And they found the Rishna crying, sobbing. And they were taken aback that the Rebbe was in such a state. After all, they looked up to him for strength. And the Rebbe was crying. It seemed that he was falling apart. And he said something that it's hard for people like us to understand. He said to them the following: Mizmer l'David Hashem Elohei Echsa, b'nas deshi abiseini, al memnuch snaileini. Gam ki eilech begeitz al maves. Even though I walk through a place, the valley of the shadow of death, lo ira ra ki ati imodi, I'm not afraid because you're always with me. But the Rishna said, lo ira, I'm not afraid of anything. But ra, but it hurts me, it's so bad. You know why? Ki ati imodi. That you're with me, and that I brought you with me here into such a place, into this terrible, miserable place. It hurts me that the Shechin is in this place. Ra ki ata imani. So the question is, this feeling of Rachmanis that one has when you think about yourself, you think about the godliness within yourself, how does this rachmanis translate into something which we can understand in a relationship between a husband and a wife? So listen carefully. Again, I have to condense a lot into a few minutes. What does this v'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameihu have to do with a husband and wife and redeeming the avram, the love, the ahava that's hidden inside? Anger. The Svarim tell us that anger is a very pathetic attempt on the part of the person who's angry to hide the pain that he feels. And because a person feels within himself pain and disappointment and so on and embarrassment, it's the nature of a person in pain to hurt, to cause pain to others. And the person who's in pain, instead of thinking about what's missing in his life and what's wrong with his or her life, the person who's angry shoots arrows at the other person, often, most often, the person who he or she ostensibly loves. And the angrier the person is, the greater the simon of the pain that that person is in, And the angry outburst means that the pain that that person feels, the shame and embarrassment, has reached such a level that it can no longer be contained. And therefore, the Sfarim tell us, Odom Hamachiv, the person who causes pain through his anger, the person who causes pain to somebody else, that person is the Adam HaKo'ev Biyoser, is the one who himself is suffering the most terrible pain. And therefore, the more anger that you see in a person, the more that person is desperately trying in a very strange and terrible way to tell you how much pain he's feeling. But he doesn't know what to do. Therefore, he inflicts that pain upon you. He causes you pain. But a person thinks about this. Again, I'm trying to talk from the perspective tonight of a wife whose husband is angry. If you think about this pain that this person must be feeling, that has caused an otherwise fine, decent, caring person to act in such a way, to cry out with such anger, and to scream and to try to hurt you. If you think about that, and what pain this person must be in to cause you that pain, then you can begin to enter into the remarkable world of empathy, of rachamim. Let me explain a little bit more. One has a choice to react to the pain of the spouse and the anger of the spouse. One has the choice to return the arrows, to shoot back the anger. The same way that Tanya said that a person needs to think about the rachmanis of his own pure neshama and the godliness that's within him, that his within himself, that his neshama was sent into this world to accomplish great things and to illuminate the entire world. And instead the neshama is so far, and you and I are so far from the tachlis, and one can have rachmanis on his own neshama, which means to remember be'emes, in truth. Because remember, the midah of Yaakov is not only rachamim, the midah of Yaakov is truth. And to come through that midah of emes to rachamim amitiyim. And rachamim amitiyim means in the relationship to honestly acknowledge that it's not only my husband who's in pain, but I myself and the love that I once felt for this man is itself in a state of exile within me. Sof kol sof, this man who I feel now so far from, and I even might feel some hate for, I can't tell you the amount of times I've heard over the years a sentence along the lines of, sometimes I wish that something would have happened to my husband on his way home from work. Hashem Yirach. But if the person thinks in a real and honest way, which is Yaakov, about how this man of my life is generally in be'emes and be'emes, he's been kind to me, he's been good to me, he's faithful to me. Of course, I'm not talking about extreme situations. I'm talking about good people who are in galus. And how this person loves the children. And how this person takes care of the family in the most devoted way. And that because I myself have my own issues that I've struggled with over my life, and my own ability to love is in a state of exile, and it's rachmanis on my own neshama, on myself, and on the goodness within myself, that because of something small that has taken place, because of some disagreement over some narishkeit, that I am ready to actually swallow this person up alive. Now, the way that women generally swallow their husbands up alive is not usually with the screaming and the anger, although there are some screamers. It's not usually with the screaming and the anger that is seen by men or demonstrated by men. But women have an extraordinary ability to inflict pain by ignoring the other person, by disappearing, by pulling away. And when a person begins to ask herself, that sof kol sof, the emes is, that the reason that my husband is angry, and the reason that he acts this way, goes back to his own inability to express and to demonstrate the feelings that he has for me, and to find within himself the ahava that he has for me. And that I know, again speaking from the wife's perspective, that I know that with a smile, with a caress, with a word of sweetness, in a very, very gentle way that Hashem has revealed to women, the secret of compassion and of empathy, to feel that the pain of that husband who does not, God forbid, hate you, who does not, God forbid, want to hurt you, but he is hurting, he feels himself lonely, he feels that the two of you have not really been close for a long time, he's torn between certain things that are going on at work, things that he perhaps has seen with his eyes that cause him to feel ashamed and guilty looking at you when he's seen certain things, perhaps on the street or at work or on his phone. And you have the ability with a word to completely turn the matzav around, to change the situation. Uvachol zeis, nevertheless, you continue on with the war. Doesn't make a difference at this point who started the fight. We're talking about how can it end. Because you have your own pain. And you feel, perhaps, that he has done things that are not right. Or that he is not the husband that you dreamt of. Or that you thought he would be. And at that moment you have the ability to redeem the love and to uncover the love and to bring out the love from your spouse with the midah of Yaakov, which is the midah of empathy and compassion. And you could ask yourself, kama miskena ani, such rachmanis that I don't have the ability or that I don't feel that I want to do that. When I know that I can, I don't feel that I want to do that. So the beginning of rachamim of compassion and of empathy, which is the pathway that the Tanya says, derech yoshelif na'ish, that leads to ahava, is when the spouse, when the wife opens her eyes, and the husband opens his eyes, usually in most situations, not always, but in most situations, the woman is the one who has the greater ability to begin. By opening the eyes, and instead of looking at the husband as an angry, difficult, distant individual, to first look at yourself and to say that I have my own problems. And that I myself have been unable over the years to keep a certain relationship where I wanted it to be, to do my best. And that I believe be'emunah shleima, the same way that there's love that I have within myself that has been covered by the years of pain and of difficulty that I can't express to this man, that I believe be'emunah shleima that he feels that love towards me. And that in general men have a much greater difficulty in expressing that. It's not an excuse. And please don't go into a place of katness, of smallness, because I'm not talking about anything small. It's not about right and wrong. The same way that my feeling of love is hidden within me, and over the years it's gotten lost, it's in captivity. I look at him, and I see him an angry person, or a distant person, or a cold person. But I believe, be'emunah shleima, that the ahava is still there within him. And I try to understand what is it that's hurting him. And to have rachmanis on that man that I love who has become so damaged and hurt. And to try to be honest about what I have done, perhaps to make it more difficult for him. And what I can do to make it easier for him. All of this I'm telling to the men from their perspective. You understand? So now we have a terrible day. Imagine this. She's screaming. The subject is very often about the children. So the screaming might be that you ruined our son because of how you handled the situation. Is he screaming? All of a sudden, he pipes up and starts to scream about you're a carbon copy of your mother. These are lashonos that have been thrown around for thousands of years. And Jews are smart people. Oh, they can come up with zingers. A knife in the stomach. And not only a knife, then you turn it. When the guy says you're a carbon copy of your mother, and each one finds those words. And we know these stories. If there would be a movie, if that would be streaming live like this is right now somewhere, and there would be a film that's being taken, what would the person who's taking the film, you know, the children watch a lot of this stuff. What is the filmmaker's impression? I think that what the children feel watching these things and trying to figure them out, and the person on the side who might know these two people and love them both, I think that he would see how two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jews, how two caring, loving, good people, a mamish in galus. Each one is trying to defeat the other with the righteousness of his cause, of her cause, of his opinion, of her opinion. But then, after the storm, again, I'm assuming that most of you have never been in any of these situations. There are single girls here too, and I don't want to scare anybody, chas v'shalom. 99% it's not this at all. It's very, very good. Everything is wonderful. After the storm, and there's some quiet, and during those quiet moments after the storm, where each one turns over to the other side, you know, looks at the wall, and even it could schlep out to the next day or beyond, there's an uncomfortable feeling that each one has. I'm talking about Jews with hearts. There's an uncomfortable feeling, even the man who by nature has such a strong ego is beginning to find certain faults in his argument, you know? And he's starting to hear some of the things that she was saying, and he can't admit, but it's like a good point she made. And the woman who doesn't have usually an ego is not her problem. For the most part, women are not egotistical. There are exceptions, but for the most part, that's not their struggle. But the woman begins to consider some of the things that he said that were probably crazy. Things that were probably wrong, objectively wrong. But now that it's quiet, and now that the fight is no longer raging, and the anger is no longer there, and the cruelty itself, just another few minutes, the cruelty has subsided in the fighting, sometimes the wife can look at that person who's facing the wall and can see him not as a bad person, as a flawed person like herself, who's desperate for her love, and who feels in many ways a disappointment to her. Perhaps a disappointment to the children. And instead of looking at him as some sort of a beast, God forbid, she begins to have feelings of a little bird that just came in with a broken leg through the window, you know? Of that little bird that just came. And the wife is able to admit to herself, when looking at him, she's able to admit to herself that the same way that he's in Galus, that over the years his love has become buried under piles of things, and because of that, he's in pain. And he hurts me when he's in pain. That I too am a Rachmanis. That I too have forgotten the language that is so natural to Jewish mothers and Jewish wives. The language of love. The language of caring. The language of compassion, of sweetness, of using words to heal. And at that moment, when he's not angry and he's just fallen asleep, probably snoring, so she's not angry anymore. She feels Rachmanis. She knows in her heart of hearts that when he's really feeling lost and he's really feeling broken and he's really feeling empty, that he turns to her and that he has no one in the world that he loves more than her. And she's able to find that within herself, that midah of compassion, of rachmanis, of empathy, of entering into his heart, into his mind. He's a good guy. Your guy is a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a flawed and hurt good guy. And because of that, he sometimes hurts you. But you are also a flawed and hurt person. And you have ways to hurt the other when you're in pain as well. You remember there was a Jew called Aaron HaKohen, and now we're going to end. There was a Jew called Aaron HaKohen. And I think that every single one of you knows that although he's called a man of truth, he was one of the greatest liars that ever lived. You know what I'm talking about, right? You remember what Aaron used to do? Chazal tell us that Aaron, you know, the midah of Aaron is Levarach Es Am Yisrael Be'ahava. Some of you are the daughters of Kahana, the wives of Kahana. Levarach Es Am Yisrael Be'ahava. Aaron. Aaron is the embodiment of love. He was looking for love everywhere. So Aaron, Chazal tells that Aaron would see, he had good eyes, and Aaron would see a husband and wife that had a falling out. That there was something going on. And Chazal tell us, he would do this with friends and with husbands and wives. And Chazal tell us Then Aaron would wait until it was quiet. Sometimes he would walk by. You know, they didn't live in brick buildings. They were living in tents. So it's much easier to hear like pots and pans flying and screaming and yelling. We never think of that, right? Because in the middle, we think everything was perfect. It must have been pretty wild walking through the tents. Matovo Alecha Yaakov. Maybe that's one of the reasons that the openings were not facing each other. So Aaron would wait till it was quiet. He would wait for the right moment. And he would find that he would wait for that husband walking to daven someplace, whatever. And Chazal say that Aaron would go over to him and say, "You should know, Rabbi Yankel, I want to tell you something. I spoke to your wife. You have no idea how sebrochen she is. You have no idea how bad she feels about what happened last night between the two of you, the fighting. You have no idea." And then Aaron, the greatest liar of all time, and the Navi calls him ki emes ha'isavifiv, that he was a man of truth, the greatest liar. So that's what he would say to the husband. And the husband would say, "Yeah, you spoke to him." He said, Aaron would say, "I spoke to you." You know how Sfadim always do that when they're about to tell you something important? They put their hand on their heart, and you got to get ready if you don't know what's coming. They do that. Aaron would put his hand on his heart, and he would say, "Be'emes, be'emes. I'm telling you the truth, Yankel. Your wife, she can't come back to herself. She's so tzebrochen." "She told you that?" "She, 100% she told me that." And he starts to think, wow. And then Aaron would run to the wife and say, "I want to tell you something. I was talking to Yankel, you know. You have no idea how much your husband loves you. He mamish feels terrible about what he said to you last night. He feels terrible about what he did to you last night." And she would say, "My Yankel? He's told you he feels bad? He didn't just tell me. I swear to you, he was crying real tears. Mamish crying. My Yankel was crying about me?" "Yeah." And then Aaron would go off looking for another couple. Now the uncle comes home, right? Comes back to the tent. He feels a little bit funny. He's not quite sure. It's an awkward situation he's in. After all, he heard how much his wife loves him and misses him. She doesn't know when he hears his wagon pulling up, or whatever he's driving, camel, pulling up into the driveway. After all, she heard how bad Yankel feels, how much he cares. And I tried to think of Aaron someplace on the side, like, you know, watching, behind the neighbor's tent or something, looking to see how's this going to go. And he sees two beautiful Jews falling to each other's arms. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I said that to you. I'm so sorry. That's not really me, and I feel bad. I never wanted to treat you that way." Aaron was able to uncover the truth. That's the midah of Yaakov, which is emes, which is rachamim, to feel the other person. Aaron was able to say to each one, "Put down your weapon. Stop hiding behind the righteousness of your argument. Stop hiding behind your own pain and your own anger that's accumulated over your life with your own disappointments and your own loneliness, etc." Stop waiting for the other one to start, for the other one to show that love. Stop waiting for the other one, that you have to be the one who's cool and distant and removed, and the other one has to be the one to start, to make the first move. Because you think that if you're going to make the first move, that means you've lost the milchama. You've conceded the battle. But the emes is, the truth is, that there is a Jew, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol that you know, who's the only one of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. Where does he go? Lifnai v'lifnim. Aaron has the ability to enter into the deepest, deepest hidden inner sanctuary, into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Holy of Holies. And therefore, Aaron has the ability to enter into that part of who we are that's called Lifnei V'Lifnim. The deepest sanctuary of a Jew, that hidden place deep within the husband. Deeper than the Jew, there's that Ahavas Hashem, the love for Hashem, the desire to be better. And deeper than the husband, if the wife can be the one to see that, and to uncover that. See, we don't have Aaron walking amongst us anymore. Aaron was able to come Lifnei V'Lifnim and to see deep into the hearts of those two good people who are destroying each other and destroying their children with their anger and their pain. So what do we do if we don't have Aaron? And Aaron is not here. One has to be courageous enough to put down, to be the first one to start with rachamim, to see the rachmanis of the other person, to believe in the ahav of the other person. And to be ma'ir rachmim, Yaakov ishapodes Avram, to daven for that person, to find words that are soothing and comforting for the person, to try to understand why is he in such pain, why is he doing this, why is he acting this way. And the moment that the wife shows this, the husband, I'm again talking from that perspective right now, then of course what Shlomo Melech said, kemayim apanim lapanim, kein lev adam la'adam, that when one shows compassion and love to the other, it awakens the compassion and love that was locked up and imprisoned in the other. And then all of a sudden, even without Aaron being present, the weapons are put down, the bullets stop flying, the arrows stop going in the air. And they become like, what was it, Tevye, and what was her name, Goldie, and Fiddler on the Roof, was it Goldie? Golda? I don't know, yeah? Tevye and Golda. We grew up with that, we grew up with Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know if any of them, some of the older ones, he grew up with Fiddler on the Roof. That was like one of my most religious experiences growing up, watching Fiddler on the Roof. And the end of the song is when, so Tevye's asking, do you love me? Do I love you? And the end of the song is very sweet. And I suppose I love you too. To come to that place, to bring out, to sing that song of an I suppose I love you too, to draw out those words. A Jewish wife, a Jewish mother knows how to do that. More than anybody in the world. The men have their inyanim. I promise you, I'm talking to them, I'm going to talk to them. I'm very hard on them. But the Jewish woman has a gewaldig koach. I want to just tell you this last thing. It takes 30 seconds. I tried calling Siri. Is Siri here? So I tried calling Siri to ask her to get an accurate... I think I got this right. It's about my granddaughter Naomi. You'll indulge me to talk about one of my grandchildren for a second. Naomi, all the grandchildren are delicious, are yummy. There's something about Naomi. She's just the sweetest, sweetest little girl. And Suri told me last week, I hope I'm getting this right, but I think this is what is the story, that the Moreh was out. I think it was Mrs. Kurland, was not in class for a minute. She was outside, or class was going to begin. And something really not nice happened in class. That there was a girl that got up and wrote on the blackboard, I hate, whatever, Rivka. I hate Rivka, she wrote on the blackboard. And then another girl got up. This became like a funny thing. There's obviously some girl that's a Nebuch or Rachmanis. And another girl got up and wrote, I hate Rivka too. And Rivka's in the room. And the girls are having this fun. Now, what happened is like this. Mara Kurland walked in, and Nami was at the blackboard with a thing in her hand. I don't know if it's chalk anymore, right? It's markers. We used to use chalk. Or maybe it's a computer thing, a light or something. I'm saying it wrong, Michla. But this is the story. So Nami was standing there. Nami was standing there with a marker in her hand, and Mara Kurland walked in and saw a hate. And I don't know if it's because Nami couldn't reach it or whatever happened, but Nami didn't, or there wasn't an eraser there. Nami was writing on the blackboard, "I love Rivka. I love Rivka." And Mara Kurland, when she walked in, she knew that it couldn't be that Nami would write such a thing, because she saw it and said, I hate. And she saw that Nami was writing, "I love Rivka." And then she mumbled, she didn't even know, I don't think, that Mara Kurland was there, that Nami just said when she was writing that, "I hope this helps." So, Chavra, I took a lot of your time, and you have to get up early tomorrow. There's much, much more that I didn't say that I wanted to say. But I hope that this helps. Hashem Yisboch gave us each other. It's a gift. Hashem Yisboch should help us to feel the Rachmanis of the person that we love. Rachmanis doesn't mean he's pathetic or she's pathetic. That's a very non-Jewish translation. It means to feel the pain and to uncover the love and the kindness and to believe that it's there, it's within us, it's in myself, it's in him. And to become Aaron HaKohen and to be daring enough to go into the Holy of Holies. Not to be afraid, to go into the Holy of Holies and to be the one to begin. And you will guarantee you will find that the one that you love will end by saying, "And I suppose I love you too." We should be zoichet to feel each other's love and Hashem's Baruch's love, to be zoichet to come back and to hear those words from the mouth of Mashiach Tzidkenu, with the blessing of Amitis, Mehevi Amin Amin.